a very interesting memorial notice featured in the Kerry's Eye, sorry, in the Kerry Man on Wednesday's Kerry Man, and it was a memorial to John O'Connell, who died 100 years ago. 100th anniversary, died the 7th of January 1926, Seaview Ballard Law Chambers, Nelson Street, Tralee, formerly Ballinagrone, lawyer, patriot, husband, father, remembered always. And those two words, remembered always, really coming to the fore with a memorial put there 100 years after his death. It got us curious. And with me on the line to talk about this now is two descendants of John O'Connell, Eugene J. Doyle, who placed the memorial notice in the Kerry Man. He's John O'Connell's grandson, and Jim O'Connell, who is grandnephew of John O'Connell. Good morning to both of you, and thanks so much for joining me in the programme. Eugene, I'll start with you. Tell me first of all about, I suppose, who, before you get to the idea of honouring him 100 years with a memorial notice on, who was John O'Connell, your grandfather?
Excuse me. Hello, Jerry. Hello, Jim.
Hello, Eugene.
Hi. John, my grandfather, yes. My mother was his... his last children were twins, also a John and Sheila. And Sheila was my mother. And I was always brought up with a great love and respect and affection for John. I'm sitting here in the Home Office, and I'm actually at a table which belonged to John and his wife Mary, and John sort of married Mary in 1914. He was born 1867. He was a lawyer. He had a doctorate in law. And he was, the reason why I say a patriot, he was involved in a sort of lot of nationalist causes. The Gaelic League was a major thing for him. And growing up, whenever I visited his eldest daughter's house, Mary, in the sitting room there was a very nice silver, on display, a very nice silver cup, which was presented to John on the occasion of his marriage in 1914 from the Gaelic League, the inscription being obviously in Old Irish. He was always held in great respect and love by all his siblings. And my mother, my mother and I, we went down and stayed in the old family home. At that stage, it was a guest house. And I went down with my mother, and Sheila would always book the old bedroom that had been her bedroom in the house. And she would bring me around the house and say, look, this is my parents' rooms, this is my siblings' rooms, this was my dad's study. And so I always had a great feel for him. And, I was born in the 50s, he died in the 1920s. He was always kind of part of the family and always held in great respect.
Yeah, yeah, and that is a key part of his legacy and his memory. And has it been a tradition, Eugene, for you to put the notice in on the anniversary, the 100, or was the 100th anniversary kind of a special time to mark his life
and
his legacy?
Well, it's a special time. I put in notices as well on his 90th anniversary. Always remembered it. Yeah, I mean, you would be if she hadn't died herself, you'd be talking to my mother here, Sheila, because it was always a tradition. Yeah, you know that we always wanted to remember him. And later this year, I'll be putting in a notice for my grandmother, who actually died 50 years after her husband. It'll be her 50th anniversary this year. So we'll be putting in a notice for Mary Josephine later this year. Yes, yeah, so it's a tradition.
Okay, absolutely brilliant. And look, Jim, if I can get your view on him as well and his legacy within the family.
Well, straight away, all I can say is I think I remember Eugene and Sheila coming back to Ballinagrone. Where John was born.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember them quite well, actually. Now, the only answer is that I think in the Kerry Weekly, which must have been the equivalent of the Kerry Man that time, in 1898, there was a little passage how he won a gold medal and a cert for composition from the Incorporated Law Society.
Okay.
In particular, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, but he had some connection with Roger Casement's defence, and I'm not sure exactly what it was. Maybe Eugene would know more there.
He did, in fact, yes. He was hired. I have a number of letters regarding my grandfather, and I sort of have some of them framed. And one of them actually, it's June 1916, I have it here in front of me, from George Gavin Duffy, who is the chief solicitor for Roger Casement. And it says in it, "Dr. John O'Connell is acting for me in Tralee and will see me or my counsel in Dublin shortly." And so he acted for Sir Roger Casement. He also acted a lot, of course, for former employees of his, Austin Stack.
That's
Austin
right.
Was arrested.
Yeah, Eddie Barrett got in touch with us and said Austin Stack, and Eddie Barrett is of course a grandnephew of Austin Stack. He said he worked for John up to 1915. So he was involved with him in relation to that. So Eddie, Austin Barrett would have worked with him as well. And Eddie also told us as well that the Seaview Ballard, where he lived, was a safe house where both Austin and his brother Jim hid out between 1919 and 1923. So there was that legacy there as well. Yeah.
Okay, very good. And I have a letter, again, a framed letter in front of me here, from the 8th of June 1916, from John O'Connell, from John, to George Gavin Duffy. And he says that I'm coming to Dublin in the next few days on a number of matters, and one is in connection with one of my clerks. So that would have been a coded message from John to George Gavin Duffy, one of my clerks, being Austin Stack. Yes, you know, so in terms of that. And then he was involved with them. And in fact, when Austin Stack, you know, he was sentenced, as you will know, he was sentenced to penal servitude for life. But there, in 1917, there was rumours that they would be, these prisoners would be released. Some had been in late 1916, and Austin was due to be released in 1917. And John, you know, I was always told that John believed in loyalty, and he believed in doing pro bono work. But the loyalty was he offered Austin Stack basically the job back, and you know, this would have been mail going in and out of the prisons to prisoners, you know, at that time would obviously have been read by the British authorities. So my grandfather, you know, would, despite the fact that Austin Stack had been sentenced to penal servitude for life and obviously wasn't in good standing with the British government at the time, my grandfather John still, you know, said, you know, you have your job back, you know, if you want to come here. And it was interesting because I saw the reply from Austin, and he was thanking Dr. O'Connell for this. But he said, "No, I think my career might go in a different direction," which it obviously did. Working for John in the Tralee office wasn't going to be Austin's full
Austin's
goal.
Future.
You know? But it was very nice that he kept the job open for him.
Ah, yeah, certainly was indeed. Okay, stay with me on the line, gentlemen. We'll talk a bit more about this. We'll get to that after we take these. Keep reviews, comments and opinions coming into us in the programme. We're talking with Eugene J. Doyle, who is a grandson of John O'Connell and Jim O'Connell as well, his grandnephew, about the memorial placed 100 years after his death, 7th of January 1926. And Jim, look, from his career, from what you've known in the family about those connections, it was would have been a very interesting time to be involved in, I suppose, representation. Not an easy job to do either at the time of revolution and armed struggle.
No, and it was kind of complicated as well, because as far as I know, he had another brother, Pat, who at the same time was fighting in the trenches over in France, you know, which wasn't unusual for the time. You probably know Tom Barry, the Great West, the West Cork Brigade. I mean, his father, I think, was an RSE man in Killorgan. There were all these kind of complications, or kind of, it wasn't straightforward, you know.
No, like most things are, nothing is black and white, really, particularly when it comes to our understanding of history. So there's that complicated relationship that was there because of you know, the way things worked out in history, the fight for small nations in World War One, and then the struggle for freedom happening at the same time here.
Yeah, because initially nearly everyone was behind the notion of Redmond bringing all those guys to France, because, you say, they were fighting for home rule, you know. Now things changed dramatically, of course, after 1916.
Yeah, they certainly did. That's for sure. It was a totally new vista. And Jim, is there a Canadian connection with the family? Canadian connection.
Yeah. My grandfather's brother was Martin O'Connell. Now his father went to Canada and set up some kind of little small farm or market gardening centre. And his son Martin O'Connell later became a member of Parliament for Canada. and he was a minister for Labour in Trudeau's government twice, I think. And he had a brother, to complicate things further, he had a brother called Johnny, Sergeant Johnny O'Connell, who died in the battle, was killed in the Battle of Cannes in 1944.
My God, that's towards the end of World War II.
Yeah.
Incredible. Incredible stuff. Eugene, can I ask you, just you're going to continue on to honour the legacy and the memory.
Well, when Jim was talking there, I just reminded of a story that in 1925, our shared ancestor, James O'Connell, died. So it would have been not grandfather, but great-grandfather. But I always remember the story that John went to that funeral in 1925, dressed in a bowler hat and a nice coat, and with him was his 9-year-old son, Jimmy, who also was dressed in a bowler hat and a matching nice coat. So that's our sort of shared ancestor died in 1925, only a year before John himself. You know, you don't expect, to sort of go to one funeral in 1925, and then Jimmy, his own father, being buried in 1926. But
there's a big write up on the paper on that, actually, Eugene. There's a big write up on that funeral, and his other cousin, J.D. O'Connell, who's also a solicitor in Tralee, attended the funeral. But of course, James O'Connell, who was their father, he was a justice of the peace at one stage.
Does that legacy there? I suppose even the address of the solicitor's firm or the firm was Nelson Street, now Ash Street, which is its own story.
Yes, true.
I remember visiting that office, which still has law chambers above its door, and one of the doors. And it was a bank at the time when we went down with Sheila, my mother. And people are very nice. When you explain that, you know, the personal connection, and we were actually let in behind the counter of the bank and brought upstairs, and that would be brought to, you know, the office that would have been John's office in Lord Chambers, looking very much, pretty much across the road at the courthouse there in Tralee. And so people are very sweet. And if I can just say it, you know, there's been very nice comments on your Facebook page, and I'd like to thank people. Everybody for that, and an amazing knowledge of people. I'm thinking, you know, this is my grandfather. He's dead 100 years, but people remembered that he was the coroner, and people remembered, you know, the solicitors and stuff. And it was very touching. And Sheila, my mother, and all the family, all her siblings, would be very touched that, you know, so many people still remember John and his efforts there. I remember another funny story, if I can just tell it to you. I always think because John had a doctorate of law, he was Dr. O'Connell, and my grandmother Mary Josephine, she was going downtown one day to visit him, and the British 1919, the British authorities were blocking the road, and she sort of put on a pompous attitude and saying, "I'm on my way to see the doctor," and they stood back, you know. Young lady needs to see her doctor, you know. So they could use that title to get through.
When you want
to, you know. But it's people have been very nice, and the Facebook pages, the comments there have been very nice from people, you know. And just another thing, if I may say, you know, Sheila. She lived in Dublin. Financial circumstances after the father died and everything, they came to Dublin in the 1930s. But going back and stayed in the old family home with my mother. And on one occasion, my mother was asked, "Sheila, where are you from?" And the person expected to say, you know, what part of Dublin? And she said, "I'm from Tralee." And somebody said, "Sheila, you've been in Dublin for over 50 years." And she said, "Yes, I live in Dublin. I'm from Tralee."
And, very important.
Yes. So we've always had that connection, you know, and it's always. And growing up again in the 70s, we would have had the pictures of the Kerry football team, up on a door in the kitchen. So we never forgot that Tralee are our roots. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, so we've always been. And I say it was very nice. We visited Jim there, and when I was down with Sheila many years ago out in Ballinagran. You know, and it's great to sort of see you know, family is important.
Yeah,
so that's
it
why
certainly
we put it. Yeah, if Sheila was alive, she'd have put in the ad for her father.
For sure.
You know, so yeah, so I mean, I was just sort of acting in her unfortunate absence.
Well done, Eugene, and thanks so much for telling us the story this morning, and to Jim as well for telling the story of Dr. John O'Connell and his connections in Tralee 100 years on from his passing. My thanks to both of you for talking to us on the programme this morning. A number
Thank
of people
you, Jerry.
Getting in touch.
Okay.
Great stuff. Thanks, Eugene. Jerry, I'm listening. It's lovely to hear the connection to my great-granduncle, Austin Stack, especially with all the actives and work I learned from my grandmother, Nanette, and my father and my great-granduncle. That's Darren Barrett getting in touch on that connection.